Would you like to see how Robert and I both approach a chart differently? We have readings scheduled Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday where you can do just that from the gallery. Kind of like speed dating for chart reading. Well, not really. But if you'd like to peek in with us, registration is at the top of funastrology.com. Welcome into Hump Day. It's March 20th. Thomas Miller here, and thank you so much for joining us. As promised yesterday, we're going to talk about the equinox today. It was officially last night in the United States at 11.06 p.m. Eastern Time. Adjust from there to whatever time zone you're in. Leap years, it's a day earlier. And leap years are every 4 years, so you will see March 20th, 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 19th. March 20th, 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 19th. Well, here we are, March 19th. We've talked about equinoxes, and by the way, the pronunciation can be both ways of equinox. The word itself originally is derived from two Latin words. Equius means equal, nox means night, equal night, equal day and night. NASA defines the equinox as at the equator, the sun is directly overhead at noon on these 2 days in March and September. So what we're talking about here is declination. So if you were standing at the equator, you would see the sun directly overhead at noon. You would see equal day and equal night. Go into your astrology software and you will see in the declination area that the sun is at 0 degrees, 0 minutes today. Or at least at that 11.06 Eastern p.m. time yesterday, it lasted for a couple of hours, and then it already starts to move on. Same thing in September, 0 degrees, 0 minutes declination. Now, how is an equinox different from a solstice? It's that declination of the sun, because in the June solstice, which we will celebrate this year on June 20th, the sun is high in the sky in the northern hemisphere, 23 degrees, 26 minutes north latitude. And then in December, on the 21st this year of 2024, it will be at 23 degrees, 26 minutes southern latitude. That one, by the way, is the one that Robert Glasscock has referred to. And if you know about the trajectory of the sun, it stays at that latitude for 3 days. Correlating to the story of Jesus being crucified and staying in the tomb for 3 days. And then after 3 days, the sun begins to rise back toward the equator. But if we take just a minute to pause at the wonder of this marvelous creation, how precise this is, it's just as precise as sunrise and sunset. And even in these little things, the wonder of it all never ceases to amaze. And that's why I love it. And that's why it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. What about the pronunciation of the word itself? Well, as an audiobook narrator, I've run into this working in Steve Forrest's books for sure. It can be either equinox or equinox. Merriam-Webster's dictionary and dictionary.com call it equinox, long E. The Cambridge Dictionary says the U.S. pronunciation is equinox, the British is equinox. You take your pick, you won't be wrong. Because of the position of the sun, and because of the balanced day and night, one interpretation of the equinox is that it is balanced energy. It's something that we are trying to find a spirit or place of equilibrium. Bringing it to the Northern Hemisphere's spring Aries equinox, it is a time of new beginnings. It's coming out of winter. In fact, in the Book of Fire audiobook that I did with Steve Forrest, he talks about this very thing, springtime, and talks about the robins on the porch and their little eggs, and you see them and they hatch and their little beaks are sticking up and it's fresh, new life. And they're saying, feed me, I want to live. It's a fight for survival. And as he says, survival is not guaranteed. Now, what I'd like to do next is take a look at the ingress chart. Chet has put this on the video for us, so if you'd like to switch over to see the chart as we're talking through it, you can go to the YouTube channel of Fun Astrology, and it will be there. Also, this is going to take a few minutes. I'd like to go through it because this is our next zodiacal year ahead. This is as kind of governed by this study of astrology. This will be the next year in front of us, so I'd like to take enough time to do it right. And if you'd like to see the chart, hop over to the YouTube channel and you can view it there. And if you need to jump off, this is a good jumping off place, and hopefully you come back and take a look at this together because it is significant. You can queue up to where we're starting here at just shy of 5 minutes and play on from there. Now, the first thing that my eyes landed on was that Leo moon at 3 degrees up there in the 10th house of career, or our contribution into the world. If you don't work, if you don't have a career, then that would be how you contribute something out into the world. There's going to be a strong focus on that this year. Great year to put something out there. For me, I have a lot of expansion-related ideas, including getting this perhaps on the radio or other things that may come up that could be even better. Writing books, starting other podcasts. Oh, yes, why not? Absolutely. Never turn down a good idea. And see, that's because the midheaven is in Cancer, right in the middle of the sign, actually, 16 degrees of Cancer, which actually is really good for me personally because that means it's in the Scorpio decanate. So I've got Cancer, the intuition ruled by the moon itself, inspirations all playing in with the Scorpio energy too. So the bottom line, you can take this to the bank for the next year. Follow your intuition in work and job-related, career-related decisions. Tune in to the voice. Know that it's the voice, but then follow that inner guidance. That will pay off so well this year. Another place my eyes fell is right to the bundle itself, and the left side of the bundle is Pluto at 1 degree Aquarius in the fourth house. The fourth house is all about home and family. On the day that I left to come out here to California, Robert Glasscock was on the phone pointing out to me that this was a big, major, massive transformation in my home and home life and home location. I know I've been telling the story of what happened on that, and I'm not going to go into any more of the shadow side of that, only positive details. And there was a positive this week, a little bit of a breakthrough, and just hold that space for me. It was definitely more encouraging. Love, forgiveness, healing, and future transformation in that area. Well, there's Pluto in that very spot, and Pluto is all about taking down what doesn't work and rebuilding it with what does. And I've been very grateful for all of your comments about the situation. I haven't been able to respond to everything. I'm barely hanging on, you guys. I mean, truly, I sat for 3 hours putting today's podcast together just so I wouldn't mess stuff up. But just know that my heart is so grateful to you. And the one request is, if you think of me or that situation or my family, just send love right to the heart of the whole thing. I've been through a lot of Pluto in my life. And if Pluto rebuilds this the way that it rebuilt a lot of the rest of my life, then I can hope that it will be positive in the end. And that's another consideration. Look at the South Node. It sits right on the Ascendant, which is in Libra. Libra, our relationships. The Ascendant, like the spotlight point of the chart. This is the focus of this year, actually. Is reshaping and dealing with karmic issues in our relationships. We're going to be facing things like what I faced, pulling off the mask, sanding down the veneer. These are all things of the South Node, and it's sitting right there, prominent in the area of our relationships. This is why I approached this from maybe this is part of the shift that is going on for so many of us. Well, let's consider the North Node next, because that's opposite the South. And it's just inside the relationship house, as you knew it would be. I'm looking at it in the equal house system. And this is where I now so trust that house system, because when it puts that north node in that seventh house, there's a big reason why. And when the north node moved into Aries, we talked about this at length, that in the historic past, this has been a sign of war. We've seen it on the collective. The Hamas-Israel situation started with the North Node in this sign. We've got various drumbeats of I don't have to recount all the stuff going on right now. You know what it is. But also we're seeing it in our personal lives as well. Also, Mercury and Chiron are right there together with the North Node. And Mercury and Chiron conjoin today at 1:26 p.m. Eastern Time. So the significance of that is imprinted for us over the next 12 months as well. One thing I would say about that, triggering personal wounds around relationships. And Mercury entering the shadow period, not fully retrograde yet, but it entered the shadow period Monday night. So it's starting to suggest, at least, that we review these things. In other words, it's okay to review them. It's okay to look at what doesn't work in our relationships, especially if it's triggered by some wound that we know that we've come here to deal with. We've brought it with us. We'll carry it forward. It's that Chiron symbolism of this drumbeat that keeps coming up. Now, let's look at the star of the show, the Sun, the 0 degrees Aries point. The Sun is 2.5 degrees past its conjunction with Neptune. The Sun now in Aries, Neptune still in Pisces, but still conjunct the two. I'd go straight to more truth coming out over this zodiacal year. Also considering Aries, this ability to take our spiritual, psychic connection to the home office and push it out forward into the world more. In other words, a very tight spiritual path if we choose it, or lies and deception if we don't. And the Sun and Neptune are in the 6th house, so perhaps this acts itself out professionally. Perhaps you are presented with an opportunity of mentorship or to be a mentor. The 6th house also rules our health, which includes mental health, and it rules everything to do with food and agriculture. And of course, the famous definition by Robert Glasscock of how he sees the 6th house of spiritual and psychological integration, how we process. And that's the key with that conjunction with Neptune. Either we will process it spiritually and move it forward on the highest timeline, or we could process it down into the gutter of lies and deceptions, illusion and delusion. I think you'll see both over this next year. Next, let's look at the 5th house, and that's Mars in Aquarius, and then Venus and Saturn almost conjoined in Pisces. This could be a year focusing on children, childbirth, or with Saturn, loss or something destructive related to children, or bring that Venus in conjunct Saturn, and maybe there could be some healing or tenderness in that same area. But we definitely have a paradox. We have the two malefics in there, Mars and Saturn. Mars, aggression, Saturn, karma, lessons, destruction, etc., and Venus sitting between them, asking for harmony and balance and acceptance and love. Now, last but certainly not least, the big one, the April 20th conjunction it will be of Jupiter and Uranus. Right now, they are about 5.5 degrees apart. And interesting that the vertex point, which is a point of fatedness, if you will, a destiny, something is going to happen that was supposed to happen, is right in between them. I mean, a midpoint smack in the middle. So there is an emphasis of these things that happen in surprise fashion, hello, particularly related to areas of transformation, and specifically the 8th house rules other people's money. I know you can't make this stuff up, right? And then Jupiter, of course, is in the relationship 7th house, and both of them are in Taurus. So indeed, some surprises or expansions, either one or both, around money or relationships or something related to your home, the abode where you live. And one last thing, let's just bring in the part of fortune. That's that circle with the X in it. It's in the 8th house as well. What that tells me, I've always said the part of fortune is, you can easily interpret it as, this is an area where the universe has your back. Well, that's in this area of transformations. So if you're going through something like what I'm going through, just know that it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. There's a higher power working with us. Now, a couple of things. I am likely going to take a couple of days off. We have the big eclipse on Monday. As I mentioned earlier, I've just been struggling to get my thoughts together. So I'm just going to play it by ear as to what I'm able to do and get done. Tomorrow, the Sun sextiles Pluto and Venus conjoins Saturn. We talked about some of that here, but there's more power in those Pluto and Sun positions. And we're baking in that all day today and tomorrow. It happens at 4:02 p.m. Eastern. So if you don't mind, let me just see what shakes out over the next couple of days. I'll be here when I can, and then if I need some self-care time, I'm going to take that as well. All right, you guys have a wonderful mid part of the week, and I hope that you'll take some notes on this and just let it soak. And we need to keep this in front of us now for the whole next year. Hope that worked for you. And what did you think about the crossover and looking at the chart on video? I'd love your feedback on that. You can drop it in the YouTube channel. It'd be a good place to do it. Thank you so much. I love you. See you back soon.